was the slowest count off ever.
Well, I lowered the tempo so the file won't run out.
Oh, so the vibes
a little lower.
Vibes are gonna be fine.
You gotta talk real.
We'll be fine.
Real slow.
Justapod.
Hey guys.
Hey guys.
A Justified podcast. And I wonder if we're going to do that every week. We'll see. This week, we're doing episode 3 of season 1.
I think we'll always
one.
Interrupt the opening crawl.
We're doing...
Yeah, like we said, funny cold opens. You can get one every week.
We're doing episode 3 of season 1. It's titled The Fixer. And this episode is, honestly... Not a great episode for Raylan. We don't get a whole lot more about him. We get a good opening scene, but the rest of the episode is mainly interested in sort of building Kentucky, at least Justified's rendition of Kentucky, which it might be more accurate to call California, but they go to some pretty great lengths to make sure that we know it's Kentucky, and this episode's pretty good for that. If you guys have any opening thoughts... any thoughts?
I just thought, yeah, it's a really good, like, it delves into just the people of Harlan. It's not specifically about Raylan this time, like you said. It's like, it's about, you know, mostly these people that are working at the restaurant that,
Well, not at the restaurant.
Well, they work,
they work for a guy that spends all his time at the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, he works at the restaurant.
All right, well,
this episode's pathetic. Like, this plot sucks, but it's awesome.
We should be clear. This is the first time that a little bit of an underwritten episode really gets sold by some zany characters. And I actually think it works here. I enjoyed the episode. It was a little simplified, but that's okay.
They escalated the plot of Raylan just trying to pay someone to the highest possible level.
Cool 20K yeah. is just being shuffled around the whole episode.
Not much goes on. We get a good bit goes on, but it is mostly... random and fun guys.
Yeah, it's just bullshit.
Hanging out.
Yeah, bullshit
it's dudes
hanging out.
This episode. But we open with Art coming in and delivering some news to Raylan. His father is in jail on a DUI again.
Ooh, bad news.
And furthermore, the character of Arlo Givens is invoked again. Raylan is unsurprised, to which Art finds a little disturbing. And he gives Raylan some advice that goes completely over his head and unheard. So, next in the episode, we get Raylan continuing his frustrated relationship with Ava, as she continues to throw herself at him over a game of pool, to which Raylan responds, "There is nothing for me here.
You're not terribly important to me."
And he just kind of moves on.
That doesn't last forever.
Then Raylan is brought back into... Okay, I gotta say it. He's not wearing the hat most of the episode. Yeah. Before we go any further, I have to point this out. He's not wearing the hat most of the episode. I don't like it. Put the hat back on.
It's made up by some of his most elite shooting.
He does have some really elite shooting in this one. But
mostly
he's wearing
hatless.
The hat when he does it.
Yeah,
he's not wearing
he
a
He does
hat.
Have a very cinematic hat-grabbing scene near the end.
He's not even wearing it when he goes to meet Pinter.
The legend of the hat does get kind of built up.
It does. It does get built up a little.
I bet the ratings tanked for this episode just because of...
I don't know.
For the first 40
Everybody was so uncomfortable. They were like, where's the hat guy?
Anyways.
You can't recognize this man on screen without his hat.
No, you can't. Anyways, we learn at the marshal's office that Raylan is having a confidential informant dumped on him.
He's being hazed.
A real wacky guy. Raylan tries to pull the experience card on Rachel, and Rachel says, "Too bad."
Hey, your ass got transferred.
Who's Arnold Pinter?
It's a snitch. Actually, as of this moment, he's your snitch.
One of the ways we welcome new deputies around here is having them handle Pinter. For the last 9 months, that honor has fallen to Deputy Gutterson. Today, he passes the torch on to you.
Yeah, so this is some kind of hazing thing, like we rookies got to carry veterans' bags on the road.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be carrying my bag.
I've been doing this 17 years. I don't think that qualifies me as a rookie.
Hey, you tell Pinter I said hi.
Didn't realize, this is a pretty new Marshals team. Tim has only been here for a couple months. I think he said 6 months. That means they haven't gotten a new Marshal since Tim. True. And that means that Tim is still pretty new there.
Yeah.
And Art has been pretty open about the fact that he's basically trying to build, an extrajudicial violence super team.
He's doing a great job.
He's like
getting Raylan on board. That was the best move you could make.
Like, he's going through the list of bench marshals. Like, okay, who's most likely to put someone down? Check. Give me that one. I'll take that one. Oh, this guy's an alcoholic from sniper.
Yes, looking at the list of mental illnesses.
Wing him or kill him.
he eventually gives a speech about this later on in the show, but it's not. It's kind of like, wow, these gosh darn folks. And it's not like a plot point that the marshal's office is like a murder factory. But anyways, we get a good bit of that this episode. And Raylan goes to meet Arnold Pinter, his new confidential informant. And what a guy. First impressions on Pinter?
I love Pinter.
I don't know. I thought Pinter was an asshole.
He is an asshole.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
But he's loyal to his own bullshit.
Yes. Yeah.
And I respect that.
He's very, like, a real upfront asshole.
He's a Brooklyn mob guy who just couldn't take the heat anymore.
And he's a totally open snitch. And
totally
open. That's what happens. Like, no one can really touch him, but he just funnels his own lackeys to the marshals.
Yeah. Raylan suggests going to meet somewhere in private, and Pinter's like, that's not how this works.
He also does gambling, though, doesn't he?
He's a sports bookie.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
he does a
illegal gambling since.
When Raylan asks Pinter what he does, he says, little bit of this, little bit of that. That's what he says. So I'd say we take him at his word. He's involved in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a real hustler. He talked about, you know, moving from like New York to Miami to Kentucky,
and he wants to go
he's a good hustler.
He couldn't deal with the Russians and Jamaicans.
He brings
slicing
up
slicing everyone into bones.
Yeah, he has this wild story about apparently in New York in the 90s, gangs of Jamaicans and Russians, as he says specifically, were going around and hacking people up with machetes. I'm gonna say this is probably the least true part of Pinter's story. I think it's
they called it jointing.
Anyway,
which when I think joining, I think chiefing a joint,
a big J, yeah.
Smoke weed every day.
Which happens in this episode.
It does. But first, Pinter gives Raylan an informant under the name of Tiny, and what a situation he gets himself into. We'll get into that in a little bit.
Tiny got done so dirty.
Yeah. Mans was just trying. We'll get there. So after they get Tiny, who maybe is not so tiny, they go to give Pinter his money, and wouldn't you know it, where's Pinter? Pinter, before the marshals try to find him again, we see him give a job to one of his many lackeys, who's from Detroit,
aspiring gardener.
Aspiring landscaper gardener, Curtis Mims.
Sorry, is a gardener trying to start his landscaping empire.
Right. To which Pinter does not care about this dream. Curtis Mims, honestly, I think he's a good character. I was a little worried about when they introduced him and how they introduced him. I was like, oh no, I hope we're not doing what I think they're doing. But then they made him a real guy who is like actually interesting. They did commit the black guy is the first to die.
They did.
And Raylan does say he dresses like a janitor in a rap video.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my paper up.
That's what I was worried about, but then he had, like, it wasn't just, like, a catchphrase. He actually had, like, a goal.
Yeah, he's very real, just...
He's not as good a hustler as Pinter is, but he's a hustler himself.
He has
realistic business goals.
Yeah, he's
trying to get on his feet in the landscape business. He's trying to skim some off the top of whatever Pinter's got going on.
We'll dive fully into this, but I wanted to say that I thought the show came away with Curtis Mims being a pretty good character.
Yeah, I don't watch the news too much lately. I'm busy trying to make this paper, know what I'm talking about?
Are you still trying to get the scratch together for that carpet cleaner business?
Landscaping.
Right.
You think about that offer I made to you about being a ground floor investor?
Hey, sorry, but I do have a way for you to make some paper.
Anyway, so the job that Pinter assigns Curtis Mims is he has to track down one of what is one of the laziest, I think, but by virtue of that, funniest names in the whole show, and that's Travis Travers. So this episode,
no one can believe
the writers already know every name is fucking ridiculous.
They don't just know that; they pursue it.
Yeah,
in one of the
like directly reference it.
Yeah, in one of the special features on the wonderful Blu-ray box set I have, that is absolutely delightful. It's loaded with a bunch of cool content.
The Blu-ray box.
If anybody
support
likes
physical media.
If support physical media, yeah, a message I'll get behind.
Anti-streaming podcast.
Who knows how long it'll be on Hulu, folks? Who knows?
Listen to us on Spotify, but we are anti-streaming.
Or Anchor, but
that's
we're anti-streaming.
That's Spotify.
And Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcast link coming
eventually.
Soon. It should be live because this episode is going to come out a week after we record it. So if it's not live by then, I will have done something seriously wrong, or I got so frustrated with Apple's very silly tech support. Yeah,
or they patch U2 into our episode.
Yeah, or they patch U2 into the episode.
What do we do then?
What do we do then? Wow, we're really off track. Anyway, so Travis Travers, we meet him. He's a spoiled brat rich boy who inherited his parents' mansion and smokes weed and places bad bets. If he
under
wasn't such a
names.
Dickhead, I'd think he's pretty cool. We found out that he bet under three different names, $5,000, all bad bets. He lost them all, and now he owes Pinter $1,650. To which Curtis Mim says, "You owe me $1,800 for my fee." And Travis Travers says he doesn't even have the money he owes him.
He just plain broke, doesn't have any money. He sold most of the furniture out of his parents' house to pay the property tax, which, like, that's just the lowest of the low. This guy does not do anything.
Well, he could sell the house and just move in somewhere and be fine, but he won't do that.
I don't think he would be fine, though.
Travis,
this guy has no financial literacy.
He's almost like a professional criminal. Like, dude, the way he's chiefing that joint, interaction.
We also
stone cold cool.
Threatened. One of the ringing a bell, hey, this is Kentucky moments, is the knowledge that he grows his own weed, which the show uses to characterize Kentucky a lot, is people growing pot. The one of the big currents of the series is the forces of weed fighting the forces of pills for control of Harlan County. And the rest of the episode is essentially about the chaos that ensues as Travis Travers comes up with kidnapping Pinter for his Tahiti fund to be his masterstroke out of this. And this is the first of a justified archetype we'll get a lot more. And that is the criminal who has no amount of brilliance or finesse to what they do. They have exclusively stupid plans and stupid executions of said plans. Travis Travers, total burnout of a villain. Not really that interesting, but I think the actor does a good enough job. Like, I think they wrote the part enough to the actor that he sells it. Even if he's no Boyd Crowder.
Yeah, I think just every layer of shitbag to him makes him so much more amazing.
Yeah.
Because he fails upwards brilliantly.
He does.
His improv skills are just magic to watch. The way he botches every single sub of every single plan.
I would say that he's really good at thinking on his feet. Unfortunately, he exclusively has bad and stupid ideas.
Can you be good at thinking on your feet if all of your ideas while you do are bad?
Absolutely. He's never frozen. He always knows exactly what he needs
to do. He always believes
he's just stupid.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's just what's holding him back. If he knew anything, he might be able to talk himself out of the situation.
It's not about knowing. As he states, he keeps up with current affairs. He's just stupid and makes bad choices.
Well, it's like a lot of his plans hinge on, you know, him being able to, like, outshoot Raylan or something. Which, hey, like, if he can beat Raylan in a fight, like, his plan totally works.
He couldn't even outdraw Curtis. Also, part of his plan includes shooting Curtis and just leaving him in a pool.
Yeah, like,
which, I don't know how that works.
He was done from the start. And also the writers just throwing in that he did time for statutory. Just in addition to
everything. To be clear, Travis Travers did time for statutory, mm-hmm. not Curtis.
Which just, another layer to his shithead character. And just, he is just a stupid motherfucker the whole episode. He can't... Like he said, he fails upwards, and that it just keeps working out for him until finally, you know, he just gets glocked through the door by Raylan. After Raylan on the floor.
You have to admire his charisma, his determination.
Well,
his
part
faith.
Of his stupidity is that he completely gives away in his face that he's about to try to shoot Raylan. We'll put in the show notes. An image of the face he's doing, because
that can be our
he's
our
the Trevor his Joker face.
He's basically smug Pepe-ing at Raylan when he's like, "Sure, let me go get Curtis over here. Let me go see." And he does the most obnoxious. Oh boy, you don't even know what's coming, and just.
Raylan has his bulletproof vest on. You watched him like take it from the office.
It was not a clean.
And Travers spent like 40 seconds figuring out where to put his gun in the room.
Also, first episode we see Raylan get shot.
It was justified.
Raylan. Yeah. So one of the things that this episode also starts to introduce is that Raylan gets his ass kicked a lot. Mm. Raylan is not one for a physical fight if he can't. Handle it with his gun, but he'll always try.
He's
not afraid to give it a shot. Unfortunately,
he lives for this work.
In the episode Hatless, which is coming up, we see how capable Raylan is in a fight with multiple opponents.
I thought this episode had a severe lack of Hatless, man, that's got to be excruciating.
But that's the episode that's like, okay, the hat is Raylan Givens. They are the same.
Stetson.
Yeah. Well, the company that after I finished season two, I tracked down the company that makes the Justified hats.
Didn't they make the Deadwood ones?
They did make the Deadwood ones as well. One of the running influences in this show that really starts to kick up in later season one. Is that there's a huge crossover other than just Timothy Oliphant between Deadwood and Justified. We get a lot of fun Deadwood cameos throughout Justified.
Yeah, Oliphant totally brought all those guys in from Deadwood.
Absolutely.
They all just got, you know, gypped out of a season.
Yeah. Sad story about that. Look into Deadwood's cancellation. Also, watch Deadwood.
Watch Deadwood.
Oh,
is Al Swearengen ever in Justified?
No, Ian McShane's not doing TV.
No.
Why? No. He doesn't need to be.
He is a movie star.
I think I might have saw he was in some Broadway thing.
Yeah, Ian McShane's a theater guy. He's
doing
network
British.
TV. Mm. He's also British.
Oh.
Yeah.
He would do an awesome Kentucky accent.
He would do Ian McShane's Kentucky accent. I wish David Bowie could have been on Justified. I wish David Bowie could have been on Justified.
Fire walk with me, David Bowie.
As Philip Jeffries.
In fact, we're not going to talk about Judy at all.
I would have taken Philip Jeffries in his The Return form.
True.
I would have taken Teapot Philip Jeffries as well. I think that would have been a fun cameo in Justified. But
Ian has no idea.
But he's watched The Return.
No.
You haven't?
No comment.
Dude, you've totally told me before that you watched it.
I've never told you I've watched The Return.
Folks, do you see that? I just got him to admit he hasn't watched The Return.
Ian watched it's his first easy. TV show in years with Twin Peaks for some reason, then...
And then he just didn't watch
the I haven't watched, watched the TV since. Since Twin Peaks.
Well, since...
Other than Justified.
Since Justified,
yeah, right.
Sir...
Ian likes TV.
See, Justified is above TV for me.
Yeah.
It's only TV.
I would...
That's disrespectful to TV as a medium. Because I'm a firm TV boss. I'm a TV boss.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, fuck
you. Just said that you have not seen The Return.
Yeah.
So you watch The Return and then you get back to us.
Is this a Justified
return
podcast
to us,
or is
returning
this
to Justified
podcast?
Returning to Justified. Well, I mean, that's the episode ends with Travis Travers paying the price, which actually is a very creative
fucking pathetic
shootout sequence. Yeah, he gets owned really hard. Also, Travis, you were wrong. Travis Travers does not shoot Raylan. Pinter shoots Raylan.
I said Pinter shoots Raylan.
Oh, you said...
Maybe.
I thought you...
We'll see in the edit.
We'll see in the edit, folks. Yeah. And you'll never hear this part. Or, if you hear this part...
We did a bad job.
You won't hear Ian's protestation because we will have cut out the fact that he argued with us. If we're wrong, you'll not hear any of this.
Yeah, this is the end of Ian being right for the episode.
I'm pretty sure this
is the end of me being right for the season.
We'll see.
Last episode was
a disaster. Right, I was right a lot last episode, so this episode I kind of have to compensate for that. And
see, I made an executive decision.
You know, I've
got to
let these guys feel like they contribute.
Speaking of the way Ian
much appreciated.
Yeah.
Asshole.
The hours that Ryan and I spend editing respectively, we really appreciate you showing up. Thanks.
Oh, I'm glad.
But to what you actually do for the podcast, I'm glad I took the shot on a Oh, also, Ryan, I need to tell you about this. This guy doesn't know what a lox and cream cheese bagel is.
What?
Continuing his classic. How are you from New Jersey exactly, other than the buttered bagels
I lived
thing?
In New Jersey till I was 6 years old.
Oh, you should know.
You become conscious at like four.
Yeah.
That's two years of memories.
Yeah, that's crazy. And to just not know that, I don't know. I feel like that's weird. Because I texted him, can you get me a lox and cream cheese bagel? And he was like, what's that?
What combination?
I wanted to know what lox was. I've never heard somebody say lox and cream cheese.
It's a specific way of making a bagel that has like sliced salmon on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got capers on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got onion on it. It's got cream cheese.
I actually had the option. The guy initially was like, so no capers, no onions, no tomatoes. And I was like,
everything.
What? Yeah, no, like all of those.
Yeah, and tomato. This is the first time I've tried one. My grandma loves them, but that goes either way because she also has some really bad.
My grandfather liked liver and horseradish sandwiches.
Liver can be.
It can be good. I'm gonna assume based on what you just told me, it wasn't.
No.
Anyway.
How was the lox sandwich?
I don't think it picked up on mic, but I have been eating while the others have been talking. So that's been really nice. So, to get back into the episode, let's take it back from the top. So,
see them.
We find out that Arlo Givens is in fact back in prison.
We do. Art comes in. Raylan is putting on his tie, and he's just hanging out at his police locker.
You know, I've got a quick hypothesis here. What if?
Why the fuck
Art
is the hypothesis?
Is just a replacement father for Raylan while Arlo is in jail. Because wow, okay. Art
that
is
was actually
really,
a lot better than I expected.
Art really is good. Like
no, that's good.
It starts with AR and it starts with AR.
Okay, we're and back in. We're
so,
back in.
And Art really like he. Re- I mean, he kind of babies Raylan.
He had
for,
something
like,
good.
Well, back and forth, you know.
And he's like, look, Raylan, dude, your dad's in prison.
Art is not from New York. He's from Kentucky. What are you doing?
Oh, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well,
Ryan, can you drop the fatherly? Can you drop Art talking in here? So, like, just hate
yeah. He sounds more like Winona.
Winona.
Anyway, Art busts.
He's also like 6 years
Winona
older than Raylan.
Like I couldn't say Winona.
Art?
You know,
I don't know how much.
Art significantly. Here, let's see what the.
Winona.
Probably like
yeah, I could. Okay.
Like 12 at most.
Did you say? Did you just do like streetcar named Desire Winona?
I don't know what streetcar name.
Anyway, you know that is a pretty good take.
You Philistine.
I saw it a little more as like older brother, but. I mean, he's definitely like.
He's kind of like a step in, like.
They
you
have
know,
a camaraderie.
Raylan, yeah, they have a camaraderie, and it's sort of.
And.
Sort of father, son, because.
We've seen how Raylan acts without Art. Like, Dan tried his best, but, like, Dan can't make Raylan feel as bad as Art can. Well, not right now. Raylan doesn't feel anything right now, but later he's a little disappointed.
Miami Dan. Timothy Olyphant is 8 years younger than Nick Searcy, so. I'm going to give this W to Ryan.
So more like a
just technicality.
Brother.
Older brother.
I don't know.
I think there's
he definitely
merit.
Is a,
the AR
but
and that, AR
see,
really
that's where
you
definitely
a, was like
absolutely a guiding.
I refuse to respect your AR hypothesis. Anyway.
Well, no, there's more to unpack there.
There is more to unpack, and we'll get more of that as Raylan and Art's relationship.
But Art is also like directly Raylan's superior. And that's that kind of plays into the.
Well, I was saying
song,
more to unpack the
is...
AR connection.
Oh, well, oh sure, we could spend all day on the AR connection.
I'm sure we could. You know what? We'll do a bonus episode
on the AR connection.
The AR connection.
Right,
intricacies of English.
I'll settle it there.
All right. We'll have this debate there.
Raylan is too okay with his dad living in prison.
Well, Raylan's only question is, did he kill anyone? And Art's like, no, it was just a DUI. And Raylan's unbothered. He has no further questions.
At least nobody's dead.
And Art has a question, and that's, how serious of a criminal is your dad? And Raylan's like, you already know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, also, also it says he's just a shitty criminal, too.
Yeah, and he is. He's pathetic.
Yeah.
And the piece of sort of sagely, dare I say, fatherly advice.
Or brotherly.
Or brotherly. We'll hash this out. The AR connection. Stay tuned. That might actually be like a good bonus episode.
Oh, wow. That idea might be good.
Yeah, so I can defeat you in debate.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, right.
So
like there's even
the,
a debate.
So the conclusion is there is no AR connection.
That's my preferred conclusion.
Now that is a real
how could you plug the AR connection? And not even believe in it.
Well, that's how we bring him in.
That's the point of the episode, is to litigate that?
Court episode.
That's what I'm saying.
Episode. Yeah, I'll be the judge of the episode.
That's what I was
thinking.
Wear my
gown.
See, we're perfectly formatted for this. Anyhow,
we can make every episode a judge episode.
We have a prosecution,
anyhow,
a defense.
Anyhow, the thing that Art says to Raylan that I found very funny... was when Art mentions that it seems like all of Arlo's schemes are foiled by his temper. And he says this to Raylan in a manner that might suggest that Raylan suffers a similar problem.
Maybe.
After he says, it's a good thing that you didn't get that, huh, Raylan? And Raylan completely uncritically goes, yep, great, and walks out of the room.
I think he did.
I don't think he got it.
I don't know, I think... The little glance he, like the little change in his face, many kind of got.
It was
it
too quick
way.
For him to not have gotten it.
We'll put the clip in and you can judge for yourself. But I genuinely think Raylan took this completely uncritically because Art gives him a look when he walks out of the room that makes me think Art believes he took
it either uncritically or unseriously.
The AR connection is real because in your Batman connection to justify it, Art is Alfred, and Alfred is Batman's father.
But who the fuck's Arlo then? Because he's not Thomas Wayne.
Bruce, what?
How is Arlo Bruce Wayne? What are you talking about?
That's the song.
All right, I think this settles everything. I would like to make an ad hominem argument that Ian is not smart enough to have this discussion in good faith.
Wow.
Anyway, I mean, Art's disappointment with Raylan here is your sad
claim.
My what?
Your claim.
And what's my claim?
That I'm not smart
insurance
enough.
Insurance claim.
That's ad hominem. Logical fallacy.
Appeal to fallacies. Oh, yeah.
No.
That's a logical fallacy. That's ad hominem.
Well, he did the fucking glasses push, and that's the only glasses wearer. I'm damn livid. But I'll get past it. Yeah, that's ad hominem, but not to me.
Okay, hold on.
It's the same except without the glasses push.
Yeah. So, does my point...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. He gets it.
As the judge.
So, anyway, Raylan just dips.
Just saved ourselves.
Now, honestly, I think there was a big tone shift from Art towards Raylan going forward after this. I think he was really expecting Raylan
some sort of self-reflection.
Yeah, he was expecting something from Raylan.
His sheet tells me that the thing that kept tripping him up in both his chosen professions was a tendency to ill temper. It's a good thing he didn't pass that on.
Isn't it, though?
Laughs it off, walks out, and Art's just
so
sad.
Season one, as laying the groundwork for the rest of the show, Raylan walking into Art's office is sort of the peak of that relationship. Because, folks, Raylan doesn't make things any simpler moving forward. In fact, he makes things a good bit more complicated as the show rolls on. Hopefully we'll last long enough to talk about it. Support us so you can. We get the conversation between Ava and Raylan at the bar, which is, bing, drink one. Of the episode.
And the emotional highs and lows of this romance being represented by good and bad pool shots.
And
amazingly shot. But,
very well shot pool scene. Very weirdly. This show does have a pretty commitment, pretty good commitment. Hey, Ryan, would you be willing to look something up real quick?
Sure.
Is this a 5-course meal from Michael Dinner?
Ooh. It might be dinner time.
It might be dinner time. Through this conversation, Ava continues to come on heavy to Raylan, trying to suggest that he may not be here so uselessly after all, and that maybe, in fact, he could be here for her. To which Raylan responds, my bitch ex-wife is here, except he speaks very highly of Winona. In honesty, but he says that he doesn't like being here partially because his ex-wife is here. He tells a long story about how he met Winona that amounts to, I was doing stuff in Texas, hilarity ensued.
He also said they both promised to never come back to Harlan
Kentucky.
And both of them are working in the legal system.
Yeah,
in Harlan.
And then Raylan has a wistful.
Yeah. Oh right, yeah.
Is a deep wistful stare into the distance, and Ava's like, "So anyway."
Yeah, and then and then Raylan's like, "Man, Winona, super hot. My wife or my ex-wife."
That is totally over
show.
With.
Ava plays off that pretty well. She's just like, I'm hotter now, right?
Oh, also, Ian, I hope this episode put to bed last episode's argument about Ava, whether or not she's attractive, because she looked great playing pool. So does Timothy Oliphant.
The slightly sweaty, drunk, tossed hair.
It's great.
Southern Belle.
It's good
on.
Stuff. And Timothy Oliphant, he looks great too. He's got the same vibe going, but he's also got sullen. He's got like that sullen swag. He's still Timothy Oliphant even when he's sad.
As I recall, Winona and I promised each other we'd never come back here.
Yet here we are.
And yet here we are. Not long ago. As soon as I can get reassigned, I am gone.
Oh, I'm thinking about going too.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Turns out there's nothing here for me.
Ava.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It is not me, it's you. Damn shame, though. We could have some fun.
Yeah. Timothy Oliphant is just a naturally happy guy.
He is. If you watch his interviews with Conan, he's quite jovial. They have a great
rapport. Some of the best Conan interviews, for sure. So Captain Japan is a Captain legendary kid. So, dinner was on a diet tonight.
Who directed this one?
Frederick King Keller.
It just gets better and better, folks.
Frederick King Keller. I know nothing about this guy. That is a legal, Dinner. That is a regal name.
It is great. Michael Dinner, he
kind of looks like Orson Welles.
He's not looking the line.
Paul Schrader.
He's not working the line tonight, but instead we have Friedrich von Hitler. What? What was it?
Wait, what?
I don't think we have
Friedrich von Hitler or whatever.
I don't think that was his name.
What's his name?
Frederick King Keller.
Frederick King Keller. See, it shares some syllables with. We get at during this scene between Raylan and Ava, which we're still in. Great game of pool. They both look great. Ava implies that maybe Raylan should stick around for a girlfriend. And Raylan's like, sorry, still not allowed to get pussy. There's nothing here for me. Yeah, no Raylan... reason at all that I would stay here. I'm leaving as soon as possible with as few connections as possible. I hate this. I'm an emo 14-year-old.
And it's like, I can't wait to get reassigned. Ava's like, well, I might move too.
And he's like, yeah, great. Where? Just, he's got nothing. Anyway, this is when we go back to the marshal's office in the morning, and they inform Raylan, hey, new marshal here, he's got to do the shit work. You have to go meet our man, Arnold Pinter.
Arnold. Directly asks, like, is this hazing? And Rachel Timmer is like, yeah.
Yep, sure is. And he tries to be like, well, I've been in the Marshal Service for 13 years. I'm hardly a rookie. And Rachel's like, oh, well, you're doing it anyway.
Damn.
Bye-bye.
I mean, yeah, that was a shit case Raylan made. I've been a Marshal for 13 years.
Like real life, the arbiters of our justice just acting like bros. Hazing, passing the shit work.
Trying to be slick about eating my bagel and my phone falls. Completely ruins my OPSEC.
Yeah.
So, Raylan has to go meet this Arnold Pinter gentleman. And boy, oh boy, what a guy. A real Brooklyn little shit. He is a worm man, hiding in his nest.
Yeah, his little area in the restaurant is just... It's just weird. He's there. He sits like behind a desk, in like the restaurant, and you
it's
know
a big table. He just sits there. Shit all over.
Sits there like drinking milkshakes, specifically chocolate
table,
egg creams. Just
it's
for,
not
like,
a milkshake.
Out. Yeah.
An egg cream.
Are those alcoholic?
No. I was delighted to see.
Are his alcoholic? Yes.
No. I was delighted.
Sloshed Arnold Pinter, anyone?
Well, because Raylan takes a sip, so that's why I was wondering. Really.
That's how Travis Travers got the upper hand on him. Is he spiked his whatever drink.
So, an egg cream, to my memory, I had one when I went to New York. My dad would make them sometimes. I enjoy them very much. It is club soda and chocolate milk.
Oh.
I very much like them. Raylan, not a fan. He takes one sip and he's like, oh, thanks, great, awesome, and puts it right back down. We find out that Mr. Pinter... actually, as soon as Raylan walks in, he's like, hey, is Arnold Pinter... And the bartender's just like in the back. Go ahead. And then...
Charisse is entranced.
Yeah.
The cowboy.
Right, everybody immediately entranced by
Yeah, he's
Raylan
got
Gibbons.
The boots.
Continuing
no hat.
The Harlan 10... vibe.
I mean, well, sure. I think this is more about, hey, isn't this guy weird?
Charisse was definitely...
Charisse was impressed.
Yeah. Same with Lori later.
When Raylan arrives, as we mentioned earlier, he's like, do you want to go somewhere to talk? And he's like, nah, I just do this in the open. I know it says confidential. I don't have time for that.
Dude, he's a true hustler.
And he just, he says, all right, here's your guy. I don't remember the guy's full name, but he goes by Tiny. And he's like, look, he'll be in town. He'll be at his old lady's house in a few days at least. And we get the stakeout on Tiny. Mm-hmm. First, we discover that he is a ginormous gentleman who is a wanted fugitive for a couple of different crimes. And they set up a stakeout van. No.
They don't do a stakeout. They just barge in.
I apologize.
They just run right up to
their apartment.
To the apartment of this woman that Tiny sees.
Yeah, his common-law wife.
Right. See, I watched the next episode. I watched episode 4 after this one, and the opening plot to that one is somewhat similar. I got them a little confused. But they do a barely knock forced entry on her house. Didn't love watching this.
They're just like, open up, you're going to jail.
Well,
and he's like, tell us where he is or you're going to jail.
we'll drop the clip, but he throws the word mamacita at her.
Yeah.
Coming from Nick Searcy, feels a little hateful.
enjoyed that one.
That's the Marshals for you.
U.S. Marshals, search warrant. Open the door or we'll break it down.
See your hands.
Here are my hands, Bobochota.
What else you got in here?
I'm not enough.
Where's Tiny?
He's not here.
Mamacita, if he's here and we find him, you are going to jail.
And they find this guy handcuffed to the bed.
Oh, that's just wrong.
How deep is the kink shaming of the Marshals?
This is kink. And Braylon is homophobic next episode.
True.
Wow.
But they do him so dirty. They bust in. He's expecting a good ass time.
This man has been out of the house for a while, and he just wants some. And they arrest him for the crime of kink. And I don't think that's fair.
Among other things,
warrants they had.
Penner gets $20,000 for this.
He's supposed to.
Yeah, like for giving the Marshals his own enforcer.
Hey, Tiny is in town working on this gorilla act. That's what you calling me for?
I can handle Tiny.
What you gonna sick the Marshals on?
Curtis Mims, who walks on the screen to visit our main man, Mr. Pinter, who is the protagonist of this episode, I would say. He says...
It's definitely not Raylan.
And he's like, we find out, hey, there's this guy, Travis Travers. He owes me... $16,500.
Because he placed three bad $5,000 bets.
That's right.
Three different names. Ace move.
Believe it or not, the real one is Travis Travers. He gets ID'd. That's how hard the show commits to making sure we know.
To proving that this man is named Travis Travers.
Both Curtis and Raylan are immediately like, that's not a real name, is it?
That's fake. And it turns out it is his real name.
Mm-hmm.
And he's... That as we describe, we get more background on Curtis Mims after he walks onto screen and seems like he's going to be a hell of a stereotype. But he gets some more depth to that. He is an aspiring landscaping entrepreneur. He says,
a gardener.
Yeah, he's trying to get legitimate through just quote Tim later, leg breaking for Pinter.
He's Pinter's enforcer, and they kind of bond over the fact that Pinter wants... Oh, every time he meets someone, Pinter cannot wait to explain to them how much he hates Kentucky.
Listen, did I tell you why I call it my escape fund? I hate it here. Kentucky. I hate every one of these. Toothless, banjo-strumming, redneck pricks. No offense.
We'll put in some of his objections to Kentucky.
And how bizarre this Raylan guy was.
Yeah, and how crazy this Raylan guy was, who, during their confrontation, he points out, oh shit, you're the guy who shot Tommy Bucks. To which Raylan is like, I'm the guy who shot Tommy Bucks, I guess.
More Tommy Bucks.
Kind of tucks his hair behind his ear.
Well, I think Pinter thought it was really cool, I think.
Yeah, he did. And Raylan's like, who is that, me?
You know, this new guy, the assignment guy, dresses like a cowboy, boots and everything. Turns out, he's the guy who I drew that gun thug in Miami. Actually, that time, he had the hat on. It was on the news.
Yeah, yes.
Raylan has an admirer.
Ooh. Yeah, Raylan has
That's
a,
not has Ava. A, sorry, that's a, not Ava. Because he's got many admirers.
Ava, Boone.
He picks up admirers everywhere he goes. Mm. Boone is a season 6 character.
Yeah.
So
Dewey for one episode.
Dewey admires him
when Dewey gets a hat.
Dewey. Curtis and Pinter bond over their shared desire to build up their bag so that they don't have to do what they're currently doing anymore. Actually, I don't think Pinter wants to stop being a bookie. I think he just wants to be a bookie in Tahiti. Which,
yeah.
Hey, fair enough. This is not the last we will see of Pinter.
Oh.
That's a little tease for you.
I can't even remember.
Is that Pinter does eventually show back up in the show.
So, like, everybody just drawn back to Kentucky.
Everybody comes back.
I mean, Harlan is...
It's a big
man. Kind of awesome if you're a criminal.
Yeah, Harlan is a playground if you're a criminal.
Or
a despotic psycho murder cop. Who happens to be cool.
You got ice cold water running through your veins.
So, Curtis goes, and we meet Travis Travers, who is smoking weed on his back porch, reading the paper. He claims he's tanning, but he's fully dressed in a robe, so I don't really know.
I think he's
how
in
he
a robe.
Tan.
I'm pretty sure he's in a robe over like business casual.
Mm. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange.
Shit fit.
He's a douchebag. Peak douchebag.
Smoking what's probably like the worst weed.
How he grows
Kentucky.
It himself.
He grows it himself.
Yeah, but
Kentucky.
I have no faith in his ability.
I don't know. I think.
Anything.
I want this to be his one.
This show loves idiot savants who are good at weed. We have like a couple of those that spring up throughout the show.
But I don't think that we have anything that like kind of.
I think he handles his weed like a champ.
He does.
Stone cold cool while Curtis walks up to hustle him.
Yeah. He just keeps smoking.
Yeah.
Because, as he explains, he sold the furniture. He's got nothing going for him. And he doesn't have the money. And there's not really anything he can do about that.
Right.
So he's like, whatever, man. And him and Curtis have a very interesting conversation about pruning and what sort of yard work his house could use. Travis Travers makes a claim that interrogation doesn't work. Or torture doesn't work. Which I love because it's a completely misinterpreted understanding of the fact that he's trying to relay. And that's that under studying interrogation for information under torture doesn't work because the prisoner is incentivized to say whatever to get out of the situation they're in. So there's no, and like, if you don't believe them, you're just going to keep torturing them, which
right.
incentivizes the opposite thing. So there's a lot of research that suggests that like interrogation techniques like that don't actually yield better results. That does not apply to maiming people for money.
Yeah,
that's,
right. Like
that's
that was not the intention
different
here.
Ball game.
Travis's expert play is to argue with the guy here, the kick his ass for money.
And then Curtis threatens to cut off one of his fingers and holds him down.
Sure, Curtis isn't, like, that committed to intimidating him till like, the very end.
Yeah, until Travis
like,
he
really
to
half-asses
be a slippery
the enforcement.
Guy. Yeah.
When he grabs a joint from him.
Yeah, he takes a puff of his joint, Travis Travers.
And he just hands it right back.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, did you want to hit whatever? Curtis gets let in on a little plan that Travis has to
that
kidnap Pinter.
Yield him a lot more.
Yield him
than
a lot. $18,000.
Yeah, trust the guy who says
he doesn't
he has
have
no
anything.
Money.
And just a theme throughout the whole episode is that every time there's a middleman between like between
True.
A handoff and the money, the amount changes for the middleman.
I ain't got 18. Matter of fact, I ain't even got the 16.5 I actually owe.
Why you afford this kush?
I grow it, not back. Did you want a hit or whatever?
How much this place worth?
This market?
Yeah. Point is, 18's not so bad.
Look, man, my parents left me this place. I've already sold off half the furniture to pay the property taxes.
You watch the news, huh?
I told you. Current events.
Okay, well, then you know that we got people in this country that's living out of cardboard boxes who still manage to supply their grand a week drug habits.
I'm more into, like, international.
Point is, I'm betting that if you needed to, you can come up with the money. Now, I told you that I used to be a gardener. Learned ground's beautification in Angola. Thing I love doing the most was pruning.
Through, it's a running theme through the show that if someone's way out of a situation is to offer you an opportunity to make even more money, your plan's probably not going to work out. And that is established here,
yeah,
as Raylan's like, hey, Art, no, we can't find this Pinter guy because Curtis and Travis have kidnapped him with the help of his girlfriend, as is revealed a little later. I know we can't find this Pinter guy, but I got a feeling about this. I don't think he just ran out of town. And Art's like, yeah, whatever, Raylan, go figure it out.
You're so eager to spend my $20,000.
Yeah, and he's Raylan's like, someone's making my neck hair stand up. And Raylan's like, it's goosing my neck hair. And Art's like, okay, Raylan.
I think the line is, far be it from me to second guess your neck hairs.
Yeah. And so he hands Raylan $20,000, and Raylan goes to Pinter's house, where Travis Travers is, and oh boy, does he seem like a guilty little boy.
Travis nails every step of this encounter with Raylan.
I think he fails every check, but again, he fails upward. So he walks away completely unscathed.
I don't think that's true.
There was no way for him to, like, I don't really fail there.
You can bullshit Raylan, but the way in which he handles it,
he just fed Raylan.
Immediately makes Raylan like, okay.
He fed Raylan so much information.
Well, yeah, he just directly gave Raylan the wrong information. He said that he'd be.
He said Pinter had been gone for about a week.
And yeah, and
which Raylan had met him yesterday, so that didn't check out. He had no alibi that was any good. It easily didn't check out. He was driving his own car that he parked in Pinter's garage. He showed Raylan his ID with his name on it.
First of all, answering the marshal instead of just running.
Well, he doesn't even know that this guy's a marshal.
Yeah, like, he doesn't bother.
Yeah.
No, he knew he was a cop.
Well, that was his assumption.
Still doesn't have to say anything.
No, he could have just been like, I'm just...
Here's my name. Here's my name. Here's how to get my address. Here's my car.
Yeah, here's a really suspicious alibi that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Here's my ID.
It's like, do you live here?
Yeah, this no! Guy's really high as fuck.
Yeah. And he walks away thinking he's aced it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling like he's totally fine.
I nailed that. And then he gets back to Curtis, upon which we discover that Pinter is in fact being tortured.
Abu Ghraib style.
Abu Ghraib style. He's tied to a chair, drooped forward with a big black bag and heavy metal playing in his ears. It was honestly really jarring to see this deployed here. When I watched it for the first time, I was like, wow, okay.
Pinter's mental fortitude is nothing to mess with. Like,
no, Pinter stays strong.
He pimps throughout the rest of the episode.
He Pinter is a Arnold Pimper.
And he calls their shit for what it is.
Bluff.
And like even after literally being kidnapped, tortured, and then they're trying to like psychologically manipulate him, and then he's just like, "Nah, like I got you." Like,
well, they go to hassle Pinter for where his money is more. And they're wearing masks when they take Pinter's hood off. And he's like, come on, Travis.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, like, don't bullshit me. I know you owe me all of this money.
Yeah.
Captions really shout out Travis's husky voice.
Yeah.
Travis in a husky
his
voice.
Batman
like,
voice.
Where is the money?
Where's the money?
Then Curtis is doing some weird high voice.
Yeah.
Just, like, he knows!
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, no shit. He guess he does know.
So you see where this goes?
Yes.
Please, Arnold, just give it up.
Here, Arnold. Time to give it up.
Oh, God, Arnold.
All right. Hey, Curtis, knock yourself out.
Enjoy!
I think you got the wrong idea.
Travis, cut this shit and take the stupid mask off.
He knows!
Oh, do you think so?
Shit.
All right. Doesn't change much, though, does it?
And then that's when they start a threat to torture Pinter. Pinter is unperturbed, unbroken, unbowed.
And it's time to accelerate the situation. Confident informant, not confidential.
And then they bring, it's not Shirley, Charisse in, and, which, another great justified name, Charisse. And they threaten to torture Charisse, and he's like, come on, I know you're in on it. Like, cut this out. Stop all the game shows. Because they threatened to torture her, and he's like, yeah, whatever. She deserves it.
He's like, you're not banging Travis, are you? don't tell me.
Come on.
That is an L.
L. Immense Charisse L. Throwing in with Travis.
She can do so much better.
She can do better.
She was doing better with Pinter.
She was. And
so it's around this point that Raylan shows back up. He comes to Travis's house.
Well, first he goes to the marshal's office.
Well, he goes to the marshal's office, and him and Art have the same conversation about the money that they had a couple scenes ago.
He checks back in the money, I think, at this point. Or
he does. He does bring. Yeah, he checks the money back in.
You're right. He checks the money back in.
Also makes Lori the. I don't know what.
Lori, the random searcher, secretary who never shows up ever again.
They write her in just to be like, well, Raylan, you're asking me this?
It's just another woman for Raylan to swoon over Raylan.
You get me an address for a CI named Arnold Pinter.
Sure. Pinter with a P.
Arnold Pinter.
Temper. I get it.
And she pulls Travers' address for him. He goes over there, to which Curtis greets him. And they have a long conversation about what drawing a gun is like, which we'll put in here.
A lot can go wrong with a draw.
Yeah?
Well, sure. I mean, it takes practice to draw clean. Suppose your front sight catches as you're pulling. Or up. Well, now that went well, but suppose my thumb hit the mag release. Now as I'm raising my weapon, I hear all my ammo hit the ground. Hopefully I got one in the chamber, but you can bet your life on that. It's too bad that Travis isn't here. You know that guy he house sits for, Pinter?
Yeah.
U.S. Marshals owe him $10,000.
$10,000?
I'm supposed to deliver it to him. I was kind of hoping I could give it to Travis to give to Pinter when he gets back from the Keys. He saved me from having to go back out there.
You got the money on you right now?
No, I left it at the office.
I mean, because I could hold on to it for you. You know, just take it off your hand.
Yeah, Travis reveals to Curtis that, the Marlboro Man showed up at Pinter's house.
That's right.
And Curtis, you're hearing the Tommy Buck story from Pinter's, just like, fucked.
The marshal? Yeah.
He's like, it's this guy. He's looking for Pinter.
Yeah.
He's trouble. And Travis is like, yeah, we had a whole conversation where I told him everything he wanted to know. And Curtis is like, what is
wrong? You're making this up, right?
You're an idiot.
Yeah, he's coming by. Yeah. He's coming here.
Raylan shows up just like dawdling around the yard.
Yeah, and he's like, ooh.
And he's like, the Curtis walks out, he's like, yeah, I'm the gardener. And he's Raylan's planning to.
He's ready for a Western duel. Gardener.
Yeah, he starts monologuing to Raylan about how he always wanted to do a duel, and then they start dialoguing about said duel, where Raylan basically threatens to kill him.
Raylan's breaking down. He's like, oh man, and he's also like inviting Curtis to try and shoot him. I could drop all my ammo.
Yeah,
Curtis is like frozen because Raylan like. There are like three moments where he's like basically egging Curtis to draw.
He's just playing with his gun, and he's also explaining it like it's the hottest shit. He's like, a lot could go wrong on a draw.
To be fair,
he just like goes and he's like, oh yeah, look at all these things.
Yeah, drops his mag as a joke.
He says that in response to Curtis saying that like in his neighborhood, being Detroit, which they specifically call him out as a Detroit man. Mm-hmm.
A lot of shit in Detroit and Justified. A
lot of Detroit connections to Justified.
Yeah, shit in Detroit.
But he says, you know, we already had our guns out. And this is when Raylan threatens to kill him. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to come back with $10,000. Raylan leaves. He exits. And Curtis is riding high. He's inspired. He walks in. Travis Travers is like, I thought you were going to go high noon on him. And he's like, no. He's coming back with a bunch of money. Then I'm going to shoot him.
He's coming back with
$5,000. And Travis is like, yeah, okay.
I just love that Curtis is like, yeah, I've got the upper hand in this situation. He's going to come back with a bunch of money, then we're just going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that. We just have to shoot him.
I want to point out that splitting $10,000 three ways...
splitting $5,000 three ways.
As far as Curtis knows, because he thinks that, like, he's going to get $5,000 plus whatever, $1,500. That's nowhere near how much he was promised for all this inconvenience. Because I believe Travis Travers says roughly 30 times the amount of money.
Yeah.
So Curtis would have been better just sticking to the deal.
Yeah.
And breaking Travers' legs. Mm-hmm. As is his job, which he should have done. So Raylan comes back. When Raylan leaves and he goes to check the money back out, to which Art is exasperated by, Curtis and Travis have a conversation about what to do about Raylan when he comes back. Curtis wants to practice his draw.
And are playing yeah. Wild West outside.
And then this is where I think Travis's plan really goes off the rails.
Yeah, it's clear that Travis has always just been thinking of himself, and was probably going to dump Curtis at soonest convenience.
And a plan shifts into pure vibes.
Yeah, and Travis just blows Curtis away and just leaves his corpse in the pool.
Yeah, no concern.
Curtis, they're playing draw at each other. And Curtis
is excited because he won.
Stupid games, stupid prizes.
Right, yeah.
Curtis does outdraw him, and then he's like, aw, man. And then he just shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
Which Curtis should have been paying attention.
And
Travis signaled it enough.
Yeah, the absolute ideal spot to dump a body, a pool.
Yeah. You know,
but everything.
He also just shot him in his backyard.
I think he just leaves the body there.
Yeah. And then he walks back in and Therese is like, oh my god, what was that? And he's like, you got a dead body in the back of our pool. The marshal's coming.
What happened to your stress management technique?
Yeah, that was a great
that's
line.
My line of the episode.
That's a great example of...
Travis, he stopped smoking weed after the first scene. Like,
Yeah, that's
imagine, stress like, how that could have smoothed out his plot.
Yeah, imagine how much chiller he would have been with Curtis.
He and Pinter, like, shared a blunt. Share the money.
Yeah, it could have gone anyway. After Raylan shows back up, Travis Travers is fully swagged out on his plan. He is completely self-confident. We also get some discussion between Charisse and Pinter about the fact that he understands why she did what she did. It was a good play.
It was a good play, honestly.
Yeah, no, real respects real.
Throwing in with Travis Travers is never a good play.
Well, yeah, but the stealing money
for,
part.
Yeah, the play for however much money Pinter had stashed in his getaway fund.
He said he's doing what I taught her.
Travers got a little nuts.
Yeah.
So our time, well, see, Curtis backed out of cutting pieces off really Pinter and
Yeah,
or
because he believes... He respects Pinter.
Yeah, and Pinter knew, like, Curtis was not going to cut Charisse.
Yeah.
And Travers is like, I'm gonna cut every piece off. I'm going to cut his fingers. I'm going to cut his eyes out. I'm going to cut his dick off.
And he threatens to cut his dick off, which a little fruity with
He's like, who are you?
Yeah. I'm going to start taking pieces off of him, including the one that no man wants taken off. And after he passes out, I'm going to cut his eyes open. After that, I'll believe just about anything he tells me.
Who are you?
I am whoever I need to be.
he basically, he goes really close to just saying he's the Joker.
I'm the Joker, baby!
Yeah, and then, like, he is so high on himself. He, like, he's figuring out, the most tactically sound spot to put his Glock in the room.
Yeah.
Like, first he's going...
And he picks, the worst spot.
First he goes, right at the front of his pants, and he's like, no, I'll put it in my coat. Then he takes off the jacket and puts it behind a vase.
Oh, I really think that this episode is a foundational one for Justified, because the villain type it really establishes is, and we can pop in a burn after reading clip here, the League of Morons.
Part of a League of Morons. No.
The fucking bozos.
This is a League of Morons. Charisse Curtis and Travis Travers have bound together in a League of Morons.
They all relied on Penner.
And there's a lot of these in throughout the show. And they're all fantastic. Probably. We'll see. I haven't really watched
They're always show. Funny.
Yeah, they are. They're always fun. Even when they're Michael Rapaport.
Then it's legendary.
Then it's legendary.
Man, you can't
folks.
Say that about me, man.
Oh, season
and shit,
five.
He says man and he adds and shit to every single sentence.
Completely inscrutable accent. It's delightful.
Oh, yeah, it jumps between bad Cockney, bad Southern, and then
He can never hide the fact that he's from Brooklyn. Or from New York, or wherever.
New Jersey.
From. Oh, yeah, you're right, Jersey. Oh. Jersey. Hey, Ian, you claim in Jersey now.
But he is the strongest crow.
Too bad it's going to be foisted upon you forever.
Yeah, once you're from New Jersey, you never really leave.
No, and I'll never let you. Anyway.
Unless you kill yourself.
Damn, we can't plug that on the podcast.
Yes, we can.
Well, it's New Jersey specific.
Yeah.
But,
We don't want everyone to kill yourself, from New Jersey should commit suicide without exception.
We're not endorsing we're endorsing suicide of the part of people that's from New Jersey.
We're just committing to super federalism euthanasia.
Sounds like a lot of big words.
That's right. It's New Jersey's right to die.
Yeah. What the liberals want.
Travis Travers executes his right.
Running on Save New Jersey.
he executes Raylan's.
That's what's
going
right
to
win
die.
This year. That's what's going to split the ticket. Other than Donald
Save
Trump.
New Jersey is not a winning
save
message.
It's also save know. Me from cutting that biz.
Travis Travers executes his right to die when he challenges Raylan to a gunfight. He thinks he's really slick leaving his gun on a table that he walks over to, because Raylan's like, oh, where's Curtis Mims?
He forgets about the mirror.
The mirror it's a good establishing shot of that mirror being there, because Raylan will employ that creatively in just a moment. But Travis Travers completely telegraphs his intent from the second that Raylan asks, where's Curtis? And he says, oh, he's just out back. And then
smirking
he
stupidly,
just kind of
shit-eating
strides over to the table and just dives for the gun. And I don't even know if he gets a shot off, because Raylan is...
He shoots multiple times.
He shoots, he doesn't shoot.
He misses, Raylan just calls 911.
That's right, and
right.
He dives behind the wall and he hides. And eventually, he goes to open a door where we see Pinter and Charisse escaping, because he's trying to find where Travers has run off to.
Charisse grabbed him Curtis's gun.
He did. And Pinter, upon seeing the door open, assumes it's Travis and shoots. And he hits Raylan, to which he yells,
holy shit, Marshall!
And Raylan falls over, not dead. It hit his vest.
In the lungs.
In the lungs.
But he's a little out of breath.
He's a little out of breath. And he sees, through the mirror, Travis coming up the hallway.
The door handle moves.
And he, over his head, behind the back shot, fires a couple rounds into the door. Door swings open. Travis is lying there like a chump.
He looks
fucking
disappointed.
This fight scene was crazy.
It was great.
Really good.
Made really good use of the space.
Raylan wasn't like, you know, like the super guy. He didn't immediately like draw on
this wasn't a
on Travis because
he didn't get
Travis
to
had
on his
had
speed.
His gun right. Yeah, he couldn't because Travis was already guns drawn.
Right.
So his best option: dive for cover, call 911. He was like he's regrouping.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked is that Travis is just an absolute zero. Can't hit Raylan even with the drop on him. Mm-hmm. Can't get the drop on him again. Also a great episode of Raylan being a good detective, terrible cop. There are so many better ways he could have handled this as soon as
he just walked right into the trap.
Well, he triggered it on purpose because he thinks it's funny.
Spring the trap.
Yeah, he gets the shoot out of this.
Right, yeah, he got to kill one person.
He did, and he always loves that.
He just didn't look away from Travis, like he wouldn't have grabbed the gun.
Right. And we get some more context on Raylan being a terrible cop next episode. But in this instance, Raylan saves the day, and as the trauma medics show up and all that business, Pinter insists that Charisse was not a part of the conspiracy.
Well, if she was in on it, and I'm not saying she was, but if she was, she's only doing what I taught her to do, so she gets a pass.
You can't be serious.
Of course, I'm going to fire her ass, and friends is friends, but, you know, they were going to cut pieces off of me.
If she was in on it.
If.
And you care that much about the money, you're going to let them cut pieces off you rather than give it up.
If buying my life back means selling my dream, is it really worth buying?
I love his quote about, like, not selling his dream.
He doesn't want to sell his life back. And that's that was really inspirational. And he's still committed to Tahiti. And Raylan has a punctured lung. And he hits up Ava at her house and is like, hey, I can't really be alone right now. I think I wanna finally sleep with you.
Even though I'm not allowed to.
Well, he's like, I had a really hard day, and like, it's been so traumatic for me, and I can't be alone right now.
Ava's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Raylan says
he's got game. Can't deny that.
We talked about it a bit before the pod, but Raylan doesn't say that he's there for Ava. He just says, I'm staying in Kentucky for something.
Winona.
Yeah.
And also, I'm here.
Right.
And as Ryan pointed out before we started, he spent a lot of their first conversation this episode talking about Winona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he Raylan has a type.
Yeah. And
know
his
this.
Type is Winona.
You know this.
And also, Ava is here.
Man.
And then some Ava adjacent women.
Right.
He certainly knows what he's after. That's where the episode leaves us, with Ava and Raylan finally consummating all of the sexual tension they've been building, which I must say does come through their performances. Really good stuff from them.
Absolutely.
They have real screen chemistry. They both sell their parts really well.
Pinter the protagonist.
Pinter the protagonist.
Only one who really wins.
He walks away from this unharmed. In any way.
Raylan and Art don't bring up the money at all.
I mean, he had to listen to that really loud metal music for
probably
a long time.
They give Pinter the money.
Well, like, they weren't talking about it. Then Pinter's like, oh, wasn't there, like, a reward?
Yeah.
He's like, where's my 20 grand?
Yeah. Oh, because he
like, what's this I hear about 20 grand?
Well, he starts calling Kentuckians inbred whatever, and Art's like, oh, yeah, who pays your bills? And he's like, just give me my money.
Yeah, right.
Only victorious.
Yeah, pay me what you owe me.
So, big impressions from the episode. I thought it was great. I thought that the villain's conspiracy was a little thin, but I thought that was a feature of the episode and not a bug.
Absolutely. It gets more pathetic for me every time.
It's a really great development of, like, Kentucky and Harlan as, like, as a world.
Like,
and you get to see into some of the stupid shit that these people are up to and how, like, and how these people are criminals. Like,
you've met your
and
Boyd.
For what reason?
Yeah, we've met our Boyd. We've met our Douglas Coopers, our men of, well, we have our man of chaos, We have our man of desperation.
Yeah, we'll meet our true professional criminals later with Duffy.
Yeah, but
and the Kentucky Syndicate.
But episode 3 makes room for just the true morons.
Yeah,
there's like, no reason Travis has to do these crimes. He just likes play acting the Joker.
I feel like Travis just was really high that day.
He's like, and made a bunch of
decisions that were extra
totally vibing through that ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Dude, he vibed straight until the moment he died.
He vibed until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that's what we all hope for,
I'm sure he felt like he was winning that entire time.
He thought he was winning up until he got shot.
Yeah.
And he might not have even felt after that.
Yeah, he was just fine with Curtis's body out back. Like, he just he didn't pay any attention to Sharp.
I was just thinking, I don't know how there's any way he gets away
after
from that.
After Charisse, like, freaked out at him, he just stopped paying attention to her.
Yeah.
Like, he's absolutely not even thinking about Pinner. He's totally done with Pinner at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't care about that. He's obsessed with just shooting Raylan.
Yeah. Right, that's kind of like
that is his plan.
He's gonna get the $5,000, and
that's
Daniel
another thing. He thought he was shooting Raylan over $5,000.
The pure vibes. Just
imagine what he could do. He can pay off one of the bad bets he made with that $5,000.
Congratulations.
Without
you're
the
out
video.
Of trouble for one of your bets. Oh man. Oh.
Jesus.
Anyway,
Christ.
I think the real lesson here is that all any of us can hope for is vibing till we die.
In a TNT 6969
license. It's stuck true to the fire in the hole morals that or theme or motif
thesis.
That all criminals are dumb even when they're really smart.
I don't think that applies this episode. I think this episode is pretty clear that dumb criminals only get stupider as their plans fall apart.
I don't know. I thought that. I
don't think
that Travis was pretty smart
about their.
Well, it's like their pure dumbness is so well layered by the show. Like
Travis is never he's never caught unawares. He's really good at like. Seeing that things are developing and adapting, but he is so stupid as a person, and just all of his ideas are bad ones.
But that's what I mean. Like, that's a certain
but he has
sense
ideas.
Of loss. Yeah, he has a sense of
like
logic.
Comparing Travis to Dupree. Dupree is just plain stupid.
Like every criminal has.
Dupree has a plan too.
But he doesn't have nearly the creative capacity that Travis does to formulate these ideas.
I don't know. I think Dupree and
it's
Travis
like the Boyd Jarrett scene. It's like the Boyd Jarrett scene. They all have this insane sense of logic that's like out of context can be reasonable. But
I don't think Travis even has that.
Well,
I don't think his plan is ever good.
Right, well, it absolutely isn't,
he's
but...
He's always
Boyd,
putting in the creativity.
I'm more shouting out
the,
like...
The Boyd can make it work is because he's smart enough to, like, see
actually
what he should do.
I, it's definitely different levels, but, like, I'm just more shouting out just, like, the level of methodology all these criminals have.
I think it's fair to say that this is an episode that's saying that just because you're motivated doesn't mean that you're successful... But I think a huge part of Boyd's character is that he is an intelligent criminal.
Right.
Whose downfall is, like, his hubris.
I guess my point is just that Dupree is a different kind of stupid than Travis is.
See, I think that Dupree and Travis are the two most comparable villains in the season. Because I think the only difference is that Travis has more
fun.
That's the comparison that I'm making. That Dupree and Travis, like, they are similar kind of, like, they're just, like, going off the tip of their
think they're one group, and then you have, like, Boyds and Coopers, who are, like, actually smart.
Yeah, but even in them being in one group, they're distinct, like, individuals with completely separate creative processes for how they're going through crime.
Okay, let me make my case here. They both have essentially the same plan. Their theft has... Bringing someone in for their specific skills, wasting them for no reason to keep all the money for yourself, and then pursuing the money at gunpoint with complete incompetence.
But I will say, Dupree is more focused on the money, though.
Yeah,
Dupree, Travis gets caught up in the plan and the, yeah, like...
Dupree has no interest crime. In playing games.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm getting at, is that so Travis, like, is always trying to be creative with how this plan is flowing. He's trying to roll with the punches, whereas Dupree is just like, fuck. Like,
well, Dupree's rolling with the punches. No, he just doesn't care.
Dude, he is not rolling with the punches.
A man who suggests, taking all a of man the who suggests going to the bank in the middle of the night, that is attempting to roll with the punches.
I think the split here, I think when Travis... Travers,
but he didn't go to the bank. I think Travis would have.
That's a really...
Let's see, the split here is...
Travis would have been like, what if I robbed the bank?
Exactly.
And see, once Travis goes Joker, like, Dupree stays grounded. Travis, he goes Joker mode.
Exactly.
Travis tries to recreate the opening.
Travis
to the Dark
is always
Knight. He just dies immediately. He does the Dark Knight plan up until the bus comes and he gets hit and dies.
Oh, right.
He tries to drive
the bus through the wall straight forward and just dies on collision.
Dude, I mean, you gotta wonder how fast that bus was going to break through the wall of that.
Hey guys. Justified's a Batman show. And I think that's a good place
and that
to
proves
leave off.
The AR connection. More
I think that's
in our special episode.
Yeah,
exclusively for
Harley Quinn. Harlan.
We hit the button.
The big red button or the stop button.
The stop button.
I think we should hit the big red button.
They do the same thing.